Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History. In today's podcast, we will discuss German foreign policy between 1924 and 1929. This period marked major foreign policy changes which affected Germany. Gustav Stresemann played a key role in this as foreign minister. He continued, although did not start, the policy which was known as Erfüllungspolitik, or in English, fulfilment. This meant that Germany would fully comply with all the terms of the Treaty of Versailles. They would fulfil their obligations. The plan was simple. They believed that by doing so, this would improve relations with other countries and thus allow them to negotiate improvements. Stresemann had come to believe that Germany had more to gain from negotiation than from threats. He felt this because Germany was still militarily weak, and as such could not possibly hope to challenge the Allies in a war. In addition, he felt that an economically strong Germany would be a benefit to all of Europe, and could also attract US investment as well. There were six key actions which Stresemann was involved in, which helped do this. This was changes to reparation, and then treaties involving Locarno, the establishment of the League of Nations, and also Berlin. Stresemann was also involved in actions which would bring changes to Allied occupation and also disarmament as well. In terms of changes to reparations, Stresemann had discussions with Charles Dawes as part of the Dawes Commission. Following this, German repayment of reparations was reorganised, and they were also able to secure 800 million marks loan from the USA. The Allied troops would ultimately leave the Ruhr as a result of this. However, there were still problems with Germany paying reparations. As a result, in 1929, Owen Young, who was an American industrialist, was asked to draft another reparations plan. Young had been part of the 1924 Dawes Commission. Young submitted a report in 1929, and it was implemented in 1930. His plan greatly reduced the reparations that had to be paid. They went from 132 billion marks to only 37 billion marks. And in addition, the payment was to take 58 years rather than 42. For the first time, Germany was also allowed to participate in these discussions, which also saw the Allied troops withdraw in 1930, 5 years earlier than planned. Another key part of German foreign policy in the 1920s related to the Treaty of Locarno. In October 1925, the major European powers met in the Swiss town of Locarno to discuss borders in Europe. The aims were to agree the borders of new states in Central and Eastern Europe, and to also improve relations with Germany. There were seven agreements which were made and formally signed in London in December 1925. In Western Europe, all signatories said that they would respect all borders, including those agreed in the Treaty of Versailles. All countries agreed that any country that broke this agreement could be brought under control and even attacked by the others. This was not simply aimed at Germany, but also France as well. However, the agreements were very different in Eastern Europe. Germany agreed to undertake arbitration over disputed land in Poland and Czechoslovakia. Specifically, the city of Danzig, the so-called Polish Corridor, and also the Sudetenland. In diplomatic terms, Locarno was seen as beneficial to Germany. It certainly accepted that their western borders would not change, but it left open the possibility that they may gain back land in the east. Poland and Czechoslovakia were understandably furious, and they felt that both Britain and France had abandoned them in order to keep peace in the West. Another key feature of international foreign policy, thus affecting Germany as well, was the establishment of the League of Nations. As part of US President Woodrow Wilson's 14-point speech in 1917, and also the Treaty of Versailles, it was agreed to set up a global organization that would negotiate disputes between the different countries. The League of Nations was founded in 1920, although Germany would be excluded from membership until 1926. In 1926, Following improvements in the global standing of Germany following the treaties of Locarno, Germany was finally allowed to join the League of Nations. Germany was given great power status on the League Council, including the right of veto, and in fact they had refused to join the League unless they were given this right. As part of joining the League of Nations, Germany was permitted to not take part in the collective military action that other countries were expected to, because of the military restrictions which were part of the Treaty of Versailles. However, Stresemann used their membership to raise issues of concern to Germany. Another key part of German foreign policy related to the 1926 Treaty of Berlin. Germany sought to build better links with the Soviet Union, building on the 1922 Treaty of Rapallo. The Treaty of Berlin included public and private deals. It was partly designed to gain better links with European powers, who worried about possible German-Soviet links. The public deals in the Treaty of Berlin included the commitment that neither side would attack the other for 5 years. German banks would also agree to give credit to Soviet businesses. However, the most prominent secret part of the deal was that German troops were to begin training in the USSR, breaking the terms of Versailles. At the same time as this was going on, the Allies were also engaged in discussions about the occupation of Germany, which had followed the end of World War I. Germany understandably wanted to see an end to Allied occupation of parts of their country, both for reasons of security and also national pride. And as part of the Dawes Plan, and with Stresemann ending passive resistance, French and Belgian troops left the Ruhr during 1924-25. After the Locarno Treaties, by December 1925, the Allies had also left parts of their occupied zone near Cologne, and Stresemann had also played a key role in the Young Plan of 1929. This saw reparation payments being reduced, and it also led to Allied troops being entirely withdrawn from Germany by June 1930, a major step forward for Germany. The final key feature of foreign policy during this period related to disarmament. Stresemann and other Germans pushed the Allies to pursue the general issue of disarmament, which had been a major part of the Treaty of Versailles, significantly reducing Germany's military power. A preliminary meeting had taken place in 1926 to discuss this, but no agreement was reached. However, in 1926, Stresemann managed to have the Inter-Allied Military Commission leave Germany. This had been monitoring Germany's military in terms of ensuring that they followed the terms of the Treaty of Versailles. The decision of the Commission to leave meant it was easier for Germany to secretly break the Treaty's military commitments, which included Russian training, which had been part of the Treaty of Berlin. In 1928, the Pact of Paris, or more commonly called the Kellogg-Briand Pact, was signed by more than 70 countries. All signatories to the pact promised that they would not use war to resolve disputes or conflicts of whatever nature or of whatever origin they may be, which may arise amongst them. The Kellogg-Briand Pact, in fact, had very little impact. In practice, the Kellogg-Briand Pact had little impact. Countries would often simply use war tactics without officially declaring war. And in general terms, Stresemann and Germany achieved little in the way of disarmament. However, the disarmament of other nations did give Germany time to rearm. Stresemann had many achievements, and he was in fact even awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1926 for his work as part of the Treaties of Locarno. Stresemann helped Germany gain a stronger global influence, they saw reduced reparations, and they achieved Allied withdrawal, albeit that this took place in 1930, after Stresemann's death in 1929. However, Stresemann also faced many criticism. Right-wingers and nationalists in Germany were angry at his acceptance of the Treaty of Versailles. In particular, they hated the Dawes and the Young plans because they formally agreed Germany paying reparations. Right-wing groups also used the Constitution to hold a national referendum on the Young plan. And whilst only 14% of Germans voted to reject the plan, the publicity involved did help cement Adolf Hitler as a national political figure. helping boost the Nazi vote in the 1930 Reichstag elections. Ordinary Germans were split on Stresemann's actions as well. Whilst there was undeniably progress in many ways, very often this was quite subtle, as part of a conciliatory approach, and that meant it was very easy to believe that little was actually being achieved. Many ordinary Germans believed that Weimar was continuing to fail them and their countries, leading them to look elsewhere for political choice.